Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of TWIM, This Week in Mormons. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thanks for listening in, as we do every week, and I am here. It's a very special week, actually, because our good friend Al, of course, is in Ukraine, eating bad Slavic food and having the time of his life. So I am joined today by my good friend Alan Mount of...
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
It's me.
So we went from an Al to an Alan this week, so I hope the change will not be too difficult for our dear listeners. Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
You know, I can't complain, Jeff.
No.
I'm excited to be here. You tweeted me, you sent me messages, and I came a running. When Jeff asked for some help, I'm always going to be there for you.
He is, and so I guess we owe people a little bit of background about us, don't we?
It's true. We met at a Los Angeles Angels game back in 1998 when they were actually the Anaheim Angels of Southern Phoenix. They've changed the name so many times, I'm confused.
I don't know, but I have been to my only Dodgers game with you. So
that's true. That was a good game.
You can wear that with pride. Yeah, it was great. It's fun rooting for a team you don't care about. I loved it. It was wonderful. Though in all actuality, Alan and I lived together in my last area of my mission.
Alicante,
Spain. So I was his zone leader, and he was my district leader.
It's true.
Until
it was fun.
To other places.
Do you remember? I remember my first impression of you. I asked you a question.
You answered
it very surprisingly.
I don't recall what this was. What were you talking about? Like dashboard or something like that?
Yes, sir. That's what it was.
Well, what was the actual question?
So I just was like, "So you're into music and stuff?" And you're like, "Yeah, I like some music." I'm like, "So what do you think of like Dashboard Confessional?" Because I got into Dashboard Confessional right before the mission. And you're like, "I hate them. They suck." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this isn't going to work out, is it?"
Well,
but it did.
Your tastes weren't as refined then, buddy. It's just, you know.
I woke up when I got back. I was like, "Yeah, that is pretty stupid."
You have stolen my heart.
Yeah,
what I recall from a lot of these conversations about music is my companion. We're going to give you a shout out there, Cameron. I think he... lectured us at some point about how we were talking about things that were too worldly.
Yeah, but he was a junior companion, and we were big zone and district leaders.
He was my junior companion. Yes, he was. And he was a deer to put up with me, because I was a ridiculous zone leader.
You were power tripper.
I really was. So we go back. Gosh, it's funny how many years we do go back at this point.
I know. It's been 7 years since we were in Alicante together.
That's disgusting. That's
nuts. And I am 45 pounds heavier. How about you?
Are you really?
30. No, 20.
Well, I mean, I'm easily like 30 pounds more than the mission, dude. I was like 155 when I got back from my mission.
Yeah,
I'm 6'2".
You were a little skinny little man.
I beam pulled it up during the mission. Yeah, I lost I've never been like a big guy or anything, but I lost like any weight I had to lose.
I was attracted to you a little bit. I thought you were a good looking guy.
You felt it too?
Well, didn't we all?
I mean, I loved it, you know, that small little apartment we had, and we could see our neighbor looking at porn right across the little hole in the building thing. What do you call those in Spain, you know, or I guess in Europe in general? You know, the hole in the building that lets you have a balcony with inside.
Man, that's a place where you could just fall into and no one would know you were there until they found your bones.
It was a filthy place, and we had a magical time there. Side note story for everyone that this won't matter at all. We had a dear woman who lived, was she right above us or two floors up? I don't remember. Carmen.
I remember Carmen.
Carmen was very sweet to us. She would make us stuff. We would just see her in the hallway, and she would offer to like sew our pants or like do our laundry or give us, you know, olive oil or what have you. And this went on for a long time, and we always loved her to death and thought she was just a sweet lady who thought we were doing the good work. Until one day, was this you, I think? You went up there, and we realized that she thought that we were Catholic missionaries?
That's right. I had completely forgotten about that.
And so a lot of things fell into place. I don't remember how it came up. I remember it was you. You were the one talking to her, and suddenly you're like, "Oh, she thinks we're Catholic, and that's why she's giving us stuff all the time."
So we should have just kept pretending, but we were honest back then. And
we were honest. Actually, to be honest, I moved.
I was the only elder that lived in that apartment from the first day to the last day, because you guys moved, not last day, but almost, because you guys moved right after I left.
We did move. I was very dirty because both of our sisters got whitewashed out. And the sisters had this giant three-bedroom apartment with way more space than two sisters could ever need. And we had a nice place, but it was very cramped. I mean, if you recall, I was squeamish about, you know, being around nude men for most of my mission until I moved in there because we had that one bathroom and literally three of us would be...
I loved being around nude men in the mission.
One person shaving, one elder sitting right next to him using the toilet while another one's showering.
And remember, we didn't, like, for a while, we didn't even have a... I'm not sure, by the time you got there, I think we had a shower curtain, but the first month, we didn't even have a shower curtain.
Yeah. Those were the days.
That was fun.
So I moved us out of there, and it was a lot better. Because basically, because I was own leader, and I had my own room, in a way.
You had your own room.
There was, like, an extra room just with an armoire or whatever, just some dressers. It wasn't used much. It was where we dry clothes and stuff. So that kind of became like my unofficial office.
Nice.
That's where I'd hang out. So again. Anyway, great to have you here, buddy. How's everything going up there? You come to us from good old Happy Valley.
I do. I'm here in the valley, the bubble, if you would. I'm living in Springville. It's just a little attachment, an appendage, if you will, of Provo, Utah. Little known city. There's a university close by.
It's Art City. Everyone
knows
it. It's Art City.
Springville is Art City.
There's a university nearby. Of what do you speak, sir?
It is BYU. I believe it stands for Brilliant Young University. Could be Brigham. That seems too obvious. Pretty sure it's Brilliant Young, like Brilliant Young Minds University.
Speaking of BYU, we are both alumni of BYU. And
it's true.
If you followed all this, what is this? They might leave the Intermountain, the Mountain West Conference or whatever.
Yes, the Intermountain Western Division Conference, I believe, is the technical term.
I don't know. Now that the U is, the Pac-10.
BYU is looking like they're going to go independent, only with football, and then the rest of the sports would join the WAC. Now, the dynamic is changing every day. So... recently, the Mountain West Conference recruited Houston. They got...
not very mountainy. I don't think refugees anywhere that took in refugees from Hurricane Katrina can be part of a Mountain West.
It's true. Like, they're like on the coast, too. But
You
got Houston and then Fresno State. And then there's a third team that escapes me, Nevada. Those three teams just joined the Mountain West Conference.
Was this in some sort of a move to like give BYU a reason to stay in the conference?
Yes, it was, because the Mountain West has been trying to get acceptance into the BCS as an automatic BCS bid, so that the winner from their conference the winner from their conference goes to a BCS game. That's what they want, but it's hard to get that because it's a hard system to bust and get into. But Houston's a very good team. Fresno State's pretty good, too. So, I mean, they made the right moves, and now BYU's kind of... Everyone's waiting for BYU to see what they're going to do, because, of course, Utah left and is going to the Pac-10. And now BYU's like, well, shoot, let's get out of here. Boise State joined the Mountain West as well, and we know they're very good.
They are very good. So what is the advantage of being independent, then? That's what I don't... Like, what does that mean? Like, do you still play all the same regular teams? What are the perks or drawbacks of being independent?
The perks are... You, my friend, make a lot more money as an independent team because it's kind of interesting. They have, there was actually an article on Yahoo that I read the day after that they announced that they were tinkering with the idea of going independent, where if they do go independent, then they get about $1.5 million every time they're on ESPN, which they would probably be on ESPN about 3 to 4 times.
Wow.
Now, they get $1.5 million from the Mountain West Conference every year. So that's, two times on ESPN and you've doubled already what you're getting from being in the Mountain West. And then also, they would be able to use BYU TV to broadcast their games live, which means they could sell their own advertising.
And right now, and because of whatever Mountain West Conference stuff, they can't use BYU TV to broadcast games.
Exactly,
right now?
Because of all the different rules. So if they were independent, they could broadcast on BYU TV, run their own advertising. And the article on Yahoo was all about how BYU's move to be an independent was just a big push to be able to push Mormonism on the world.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, right? Because then, you know, everyone's watching the football games on BYU TV, and they can throw up all the Mormon commercials they want.
Yeah, but the problem is you'd have to get BYU TV, and Mormons are the only ones who already subscribe to BYU
TV. Well, BYU TV is really readily available. Most DirecTV packages have BYU included, but people just don't watch it. So...
Well, why would they? I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Like, why would it's just there's nothing on there. You sit there and watch like an hour of
true, but
you know, Mongolian drum music.
But if you have the 10th ranked football team in the world, well, United States, but really, is there another country out there?
Yes, Canadian football is awesome. A side note: I've gotten a lot of flack lately. People think I hate Canada because I make disparaging remarks about my lovely Canadian friends. Let's set the record straight. I love Canada.
I hate it.
And Canadian
Continue.
Football is awesome because American football actually descended from Canadian football. Argonauts, baby! Woo!
I have no input on that.
That's Toronto's team.
No, I really don't have...
Actually, I root for the Lions.
Lions? The Detroit Lions?
That's for... No, that's the Vancouver football team. They play in the BCS Palace, which was the Olympic stadium.
You know, I was in Vancouver a month ago.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you told me about that. And you were, like, there and left, like, in a matter of less than a day, right?
I billed, like, $250 to room service. It was fantastic, which I did not have to pay for. We'll get into that later. But, you know, football isn't my favorite thing. So, you know, let's get past it.
Okay. Yeah, everyone. It's so complicated, everybody. Just, you know, just watch soccer.
Pass the ball. You may score, you may not. But, you know, that's soccer.
It is. There's a lot of buildup, more than it needs to be. But hey, when moment comes, it is like pure
when Iniesta gets the ball right across his right side and it bounces once and he kicks it in the 126th minute. 116th, excuse me. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful, and it's. I hope you watched a lot of the World Cup.
Because, I did.
You know well. Hello, our country won. And the best thing is, I think, have you seen this? Okay, this is another side note. You'll have to forgive Spain stuff, but this has to do with international politics, so it's sort of relevant. You know, you're well acquainted, of course, with our Catalan and Basque autonomy-minded friends, obviously. There's a push now within both Catalonia and especially the Basque country to do football for them, just like the way Great Britain does it, you know, that they field separate Welsh, English, and Scottish national teams.
Very interesting.
In the Olympics, they compete as the United Kingdom. But as far as football goes and rugby and stuff like that, they compete as separate countries. And there's a push for the same ones in Spain to do that, like to have their own, like a Catalan national team for things like, for all sort of association football. Which would be awesome, because the Catalan team would still be the one who would win the World Cup. Because Catalans make the Spanish team, how good they are.
It's true, but then wouldn't that, any of the good non- Catalan players
Villa would
wouldn't be on the
out.
Team
Villa
anymore.
Villa would be out, so that'd be kind of
And
scary.
He's very attractive, let's be honest.
Villa would be out. I could do without Sergio Ramos because he's a filthy Andaluz, so, you know.
Now, for those that don't know the difference between Catalan players and the non-Catalan players, just look at their faces. If they look like a horse, they're Catalan.
Are you referring to Puyol right now?
Yeah, well, all of them. Gasol from the Lakers, he is Catalan. You look at him, he's got a big horse face. So does Puyol.
But what about, like, Xavi doesn't? Or what about, I don't know who else there is.
My definition stands as defined.
I should get some photos up and we can do a comparison to see. I'll give it to you on Puyol. Puyol is just a harsh-looking man.
He is.
Anyway, folks, let's dive into some of the meat of what we're doing today so we don't keep here for longer than necessary. So we
meat.
It's what's for dinner?
I made tri-tip.
Congratulations. It's wonderful.
A new baked potato recipe. I'm Mr. Mom right now.
Hey, remember that? Yeah. Hey, remember that time I went and we got you Quiznos and drinks from Walmart and then we played Mao all night?
That was so fun.
That was like 6 weeks ago. It was great. Yeah. So, anywho, everybody, let's just dive into it. Forget my synopsis. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. You may recall, actually, on our very, very first episode, we talked about the 30-foot temple, which referred to the proposed temple for Phoenix, Arizona. You remember right now that in the Valley of the Sun, you know, they have, of course, the operating Mesa Temple. They have the Gilbert Temple, which has more or less been rubber stamped by largely LDS Gilbert, Arizona. But the Phoenix Temple has faced a whole lot of opposition from the locals. for all sorts of reasons. It's too tall. It doesn't blend in with the neighborhood. A lot of the stuff we're used to nowadays when it comes to temple building, and you've seen this in places all over. Anyway, this past week, finally, the church has submitted a new design for the Phoenix Temple. This is big. Ooh. This took them a while. So they're definitely trying to meet the folks halfway. I can't help but think of my own Newport Beach Temple because it was one design, and then they basically went back to the drawing board and submitted something totally different to appease the public. So now we have this beautiful Phoenix Temple, and they've got a whole website of phoenixmormontemple.com, which I believe is officially from the church, as far as I can tell. And it is. It is right there. Oh, there it is at the bottom. Intellectual reserve is all over this. Point is,
nice.
They are doing a PR bonanza because this is the first time I've seen this main page, and they've got everything about the temple, all the typical stuff. You know, how will this affect my community and my neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. So the new temple design is pretty okay. It is, as promised, 30 feet tall, which excludes spires and stuff like that, which are exempt from local zoning laws.
Huh, so that was the big hubbub, huh? They wanted it to be, the zoning laws require it to be under 30 feet?
Apparently the original, yeah, but usually in a lot of places religious buildings are exempt from zoning laws because they are religious. It's religious expression, and thankfully in the U.S., despite many of our problems, we tend to still honor that in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
More on that later when we talk about the mosque in New York.
Spoiler alert.
So, anyway, the funny thing is this was only supposed to be a 40-foot temple before, excluding spires, and they only knocked it down by 10 feet. And that's what, and it turns out in the design now they've added a full basement, so it's still going to be a two-level temple, but only one visible level to the general public.
That's how they get you. We Mormons are sneaky. So. You don't let us go high, we'll just dig deep.
That's how we do, you know. I love basement temples. It's baffling. You go level upon level. You go to the L.A. Temple, which you and I both know very well, having
love it.
Grown up in Southern California. Oh, you just go down. It just goes and goes.
The whole thing's down there. It's like a maze. It's a labyrinth. Everywhere. I expect to see David Bowie down there. Because it's a labyrinth.
Really I picked up on the Jareth.
I had to repeat it just in case.
Do you know how many people have not seen Labyrinth?
They're all morons, and I admire them at the same time.
Yeah, it's a weird movie, but it surprises me when people have not seen Labyrinth. As a side note, have you ever seen The Dark Crystal?
I have not.
That is the original Jim Henson puppet-ish movie. No live actors in that one, though. No David Bowie singing Dance Magic Dance, Jump Baby Jump, or anything like that. Sadly, just a weird, weird film with puppets. And it seriously has to be... The Dark Crystal alone makes me want to do acid. Because it's got to be good if you do acid.
So are there going to be puppets in the Phoenix Temple?
I would hope not. I have thought at times that the endowment would be, you know...
I really was just trying to get back on topic. But you can expound
puppets,
if you'd like.
Right? Sure. Puppets in the temple. Right. I don't know. So the temple thing, I'm glad to see they have progress. We'll see if they finally get approval in the long run for this thing this time around. It looks okay. It's kind of whatever. Just squat and has some spire action going on. And
yeah, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of hard to talk bad about a temple because you always go... Like, oh, man, Washington, D.C. is such a beautiful temple. Oh, but, yeah, like, yo, I know, like, Provo, what a piece of trash. I mean, you don't really say that, so you got to kind of be careful.
We say that here. This is a safe place.
Oh, you do say that? Okay.
Yeah, we're good members of the church.
I just forgot that in Utah, we're not allowed to say negative things. They have, like...
Well, it's easy to think about the Provo one. Have you heard about the whole Ogden Temple facelift retro fit everything deal that's going on?
No.
They are, not to rehash an old story that we already did a long time ago, but...
But here we go anyway.
You know the Ogden Temple looks like Provo.
Yes.
They are basically closing it down, and they are going to tear all of that off, leave basically the main superstructure, and put a whole new face on it so it'll look like the new temples.
Huh.
It's totally... And they're going to redo some of the interior in the process, but the general layout will be the same. So it will leave Provo as the sole one that looks like the... metallic cloud in the sky or whatever is going on with that thing.
Well, goody.
So, hooray for Phoenix. We Yay. Can hope everyone passes it. I just feel bad for all the people in Phoenix because it's difficult getting these temples put in. When we tried to do the one here in Newport Beach, we faced many similar obstacles, that it was too tall, that it was too bright, so they can count their blessings that it's still going to be, you know, white granite, like a lot of the temples. Ours is that lovely salmon color in Newport Beach. And hopefully they won't face much more opposition. I don't really have a lot more to say about it. Well, there's a nice little update that there's a redesigned Phoenix Temple, and you'll be able to go on the website and go to thisweekinmormons.com, and you will see it. It'll be there.
I would hope that, I would think at least that with all the other laws trying to get through and being revoked and governors appealing and doing this, that we could have snuck under, but we tried to use immigration to get a temple up. It didn't work.
Are you referring to SB 1070, sir?
Is that not a drug?
I'm...
SB 1070. Oh, no, that's what you use to, like, oil doors and other metal joints, isn't it?
I don't even know what you're saying anymore.
No, please, one usually just, does.
Please move on. I'm done with my part of this story. Please,
fine,
just
sounds
go.
Good. Well, then I'll move on to mine. Okay, you know, Jeff was nice enough to say, Alan, and he said it more or less in this voice, Alan, you're important and your opinion matters. I want you to choose.
Those words
something
never
to talk
left
about.
My
No, they
my
never
lips.
Did. They said, Alan, I'm not creative enough to think up 45 minutes of content, so I need you to do a couple. So I was like, okay.
That's actually, yeah, that's true.
That's a bit more accurate. Yeah. So what I did is I went onto YouTube and I did a little experiment. I typed in the word Mormons and I hit the little search bar. Looks like Jeff's doing that right now.
That's true.
Hit the little search bar, and I had a few comments, and I'd just like to talk to you, Jeff, a little bit about what the findings were. Talk
to me.
Well, first of all, without you knowing and looking, so don't look.
Okay. I'm not.
Okay, good. Didn't want you to spoil it. Out of 23 videos on the front page, how many do you think would be negative?
There's 23 on the homepage?
Yeah, because the bottom few are like compilations.
Sure. Out of 23, if it's negative, I would guess that 13 of them would be negative.
You would think so. It's only 6.
Really?
I was very surprised. Now, some of them are a little bit like, I don't know, but there's a few that are clearly negative. The most, and I know it's kind of one of those, you're not supposed to look at anti-Mormon stuff because that's how Satan gets you.
I know, but it's so
it really is.
It sucks you in and you spend hours watching it.
The second one is just comedy gold, and it actually has the most views out of all of them. It's called Banned Mormon Cartoon, and it's 6 minutes and 6 minutes 12 seconds about Mormon beliefs, and it makes us look nuts. But it's really bad. Like, it's like really bad 1960s Book of Mormon cartoon bad. It's like that style. Really bad cartoon on the war in heaven and how Mormons believe this about African Americans. And it's just completely off. And it's like, whoa, that's not even stuff that we're trying to hide. That's just stuff that they made up. So that's kind of an interesting one. The one beneath that is Glenn Beck, which quite interestingly, it's supposed to be positive, but because he's in it, it's negative.
He does that.
He has that effect on things now. Yeah, one little golden nectar, I would like to call it, is...
Golden nectar?
Yeah, it's a gem that we found. The YouTube channel is Mormons Made Simple. And it's very nice. They only have 7 videos right now, but there was one that I was interested in. It said Mormon Temples Made Simple. So you click on it, and it's a very appealing little music in the background, kind of a temple for dummies, I guess I would say. Just very simple. Oh, so you want to know what the temple's about. And they have really nice, appealing animations, very light. It's obviously made by someone in the church. And it does a really good job of sort of explaining without going into, you know, depth that shouldn't be gone into, you know. I can get my grammar right if I think about it. They do a really good job. So I watched a few of their videos, and it's good. They go through a few Mormon myths. Are Mormons Christian? And it's not defensive. It's very... You know what? This is what it is, and this is why, and this is what we believe. And And what I like is he doesn't actually talk like we believe this. It just says, oh, you want to know about Mormon temples? Well, Mormon temples started back this, 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 and that. And
yeah, sort of like an encyclopedic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a few funny ones. There's a Mormon rap that I didn't want to watch because I just don't like.
No, but do you remember Mormon
rap?
My
brothers and sisters, listen to me. I'm talking to you religiously. Yeah, I remember that thing.
Oh my goodness, I need to get a copy of
that. That was good stuff.
Show.
I may have it. I'll look for it.
Oh, I need this.
One that I enjoyed quite a bit, and maybe we could play it right now, Jeffrey, is a little clip from Cheers.
They actually talked about Mormon.
Yeah, it's a Cheers was a seldom watched TV show back in the 80s and early 90s.
That was not on for 11 years, nor did it spawn the equally successful spin-off Frasier for 11 years. None of that happened.
May have heard of it. It's pretty obscure, but it's a quick little 41-second clip.
All right, that's great. We can play.
So let me cue that up here and just click play. In this scene, you're going to see... Well, you're not going to see anything. You're going to see whatever you're looking at with your eyes, but you're going to hear Sam, played by Ted Danson, and Rebecca... played by fat lady. She's not fat back then, but she was
hot.
She was equally
hot
annoying, though. I didn't never liked her. Anyway, you're going to hear them talking about whether Mormons can send flowers or not. And here you go.
Here we go.
Oh, Carla, those are gorgeous. Who sent them?
What do you think?
Oh, isn't Eddie sweet? Oh, why can't Mormons send flowers?
I didn't know Mormons couldn't send flowers.
I said Mormon, not Mormons.
I know they can't dance.
No, see, that's the Amish.
Why can't Mormons send flowers?
They can.
What are you talking about?
I just wish someone would send me some damn roses.
Well, why does it have to be a Mormon?
Oh!
Yeah.
Some people, you just can't discuss religion.
That's a good little bit.
It's fun.
I like
that. It's cute. Harmless.
It is fun. It is cute. And I didn't think we were even on the radar back in the day.
I know. What did we have, like 6 million members back then?
For Mormon jokes. Yeah, sure. Sounds like a good
number. I'd like to know if that's accurate, actually. We'll see. But,
So the question is, what else we can scour YouTube for as far as,
Yeah, there's a few Prop 8. There's one Prop 8 thing. Did Mormons go too far?
There are many Prop 8 things.
But that's right there on the front page. Because usually you don't really... People, you know, they click something. They don't... I at least don't really go much beyond the first page. If you are outside of Utah, it did go viral, but you may not have seen it. There is a... you know the Old Spice commercials. Have you seen the Mormon one?
Oh yeah! Oh, that went very viral, actually. Yeah,
it got pretty good. I don't know how many views it's at now, but if your listeners haven't seen it, go on to YouTube and search for New Spice. It's a promotion that a guy that I actually do improv comedy that I have done improv comedy with, he's the star of it, and it's all about it's. I'm sorry, I'm stumbling over myself. They did a little promo for the Harold Bealey Library at BYU.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job.
It was very well done. It's actually gotten national attention because it's pretty much the only good spoof of the Old Spice ads that's out there. So.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Well, good for them. So hooray for YouTube.
Yes.
Hey, so speaking of your comedy sports, improv, you still do that. Which group do you do that with? Because you're no longer a BYU student.
I'm not. I still can do BYU shows. I don't really do them anymore. I don't know why. I just kind of graduated and moved on. But now I'm doing comedy sports, which is nationwide. Yes. But there's one here in Provo, and I just had a show last night. In fact, if you want to see, I don't know if anyone wants to see any videos. Improv is so much better live, but if you want to see any videos, my YouTube channel is VolleyOp13. That's VolleyOp13. And after each show, I usually throw up a couple of clips. I don't record the whole show. I just record a few games. But I've been doing that for about 5 years. A lot of fun.
Yeah, now, also, because you yourself host a podcast, of course.
Me?
That's my understanding, yes. So why don't you walk us through all of that? Because, you know, I loosely understand the whole organization of yours. But if you give us a rundown of what's going on with your current project.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a 20-second history. So back in 2007, I ran into a website called SarcasticGamer.com. We do the website's all about video games, and they cover them in a very funny and entertaining way, doing fake news and such. And I ran into one of their the owner, Doc Adams. He does a podcast with a few other guys called the Sarcastic Gamer Red Show. And listened to that from episode 7, and now they're up in the 200s, and loved the show. Really, really good show. Well, all of a sudden, they decided, hey, let's open it up to the community. So anyone that was listening to the show and that was a member of their website, you know, you could actually record your own podcast, send it in to them. They would make sure it was appropriate. Then they would throw it up on one of their, they called it the Community Cast feed. So me and I called my brother, who lives out in Georgia, and one of my buddies that I've sold phones with for a few years who likes to play games. We got a crew together, and we started what we called the Panda Watch podcast. Do you know what that's from, Jeff?
Panda Watch?
Panda Watch. Do you know what that's from?
As in, no, I don't.
It's actually, it's taken directly from Anchorman. That was the news story that they covered during the summer. In Anchorman was the Panda Watch. One of the pandas was pregnant. Anyway, my name on the podcast is Dogs Die in Hot Cars. My brother's name is Smelly Pirate Hooker, which is also from Anchorman. By the way, mm-hmm. Dogs Die in Hot Cars is a very awesome Scottish band that you need to listen to if you haven't.
Okay.
Good. We've gotten that past us. And then
the Scots have some good music, man. They put out some good
20
stuff.
Seconds has turned into 5 minutes, but I'll get to
That's
it.
Okay. No worries.
And then Saint Mantooth is our third host. Well, we did a few episodes of Panda Watch, and what we like to do is we told ourselves we're not interesting enough just to listen to, so we did a bunch of pre-produced content, and that's what we like to do. So fake interviews, we would interview people from the community and then mix mash their answers to make them look dumb, and we would have contests, and our trademark is parody songs, where we would do video game parody songs about other famous songs. So we've parodied the Beatles, we've parodied Queen, we've parodied all sorts of stuff. And we have a ton of fun with it. So,
oh, I forgot. We actually had another parody thing you were working on today, right? Or, sorry.
Indeed. Forgot about that. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. When Jeff asked me to be on the show, I thought, hey, I could do a parody song about something like the Book of Mormon. So, I had to tread lightly because you don't want to make fun too bad. But, I actually did do a parody song of the Book of Mormon, and maybe we can
okay.
Play
so,
that
what
for you
guys. What is this a parody? What of what song is this a parody?
So, I would be very surprised if anyone has heard the original song that's listening here. The original song is called "Betty and Me" by Jonathan Colton.
That man is a visionary.
He's best known.
I love him. I love him so much.
How did you
his,
love him?
His work is just his music. It touches my soul in a way that music shouldn't.
Do you actually know him, or are you being facetious?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
You've never heard of him, have you? Jonathan Colton does original comedy music. It's not parody. It's just his own music. Okay. And this is a little country ditty.
Oh,
that's kind of fast-paced.
And what do you call it?
I'll just call it the Book of Mormon song. Why not?
All right. Available for here's the exclusive world premiere of
exactly.
Dogs Die in Hot Cars, the Book of Mormon song. You gotta think of a better name than that, dude. Come on.
All right, sorry.
So I'm gonna play it for y'all now. So let's hear. You ready for it?
So
here we go. One.
Lehi was a prophet who said, family, let's get going. Woo. Jerusalem is gonna fall into captivity. But before they left, he sent his young son Nephi to go fetch brass plates.
Look out, Laban.
Unfortunately for Laban, the Lord ordered Nephi to decapitate.
He tried to warn you, big man.
Now Lehi and his family, they reach a promised land with faith inside their hearts and Liahona in their hand. But two sons rebelled real soon. Now these are a few highlights of the Book of Mormon. You'll feel much closer to your God by the time the book is done. You'll feel better, your faith will be so much stronger, and your brain will be so much smarter, and your life will be so much better with the Book of Mormon.
Hey, let's learn about a bad guy.
Korihor was an antichrist that had quite a few disciples. He went around telling the people that a Christ won't come, but the Nephites, they got angry and they bound him up with real strong cords.
That hurts his wrists.
Then they took him to be tried before the prophet of the Lord.
This is not going to end good.
He asked God for a sign and then he ended up struck dumb. And he had to beg for money and food sitting on his bum. Then he was stumped dead. Now these are a few highlights of the Book of Mormon. You'll feel much closer to your God by the time the book is done. You'll feel better, your faith will be so much stronger, and your brain will be so much smarter, and your life will be so much better with the Book of Mormon.
It's true, I read it like once a month.
Now I know this song is funny and fast-paced, but I'm serious, this book will change your life in many ways. I know the Spirit will speak softly if you read and pray with only real intent.
Don't forget that contrite heart.
Mormon took all of the prophet's writings and compiled them. Then he gave them to his son, whose name was Moroni, who just like a good friend Forrest Gump, crossed America by foot.
Moroni brought you some ice cream.
And on the hill Cumorah, he found a safe place to bury the sacred book.
Joseph will find it, pretty sure.
Moroni made a promise, and he made it just for you. If you read and pray about this book, you will know that it is true. The promise worked for me. Now these are a few highlights of the Book of Mormon. You'll feel much closer to your God by the time the book is done. You'll feel better, your faith will be so much stronger, and your brain will be so much smarter, and your life will be so much better with the Book of Mormon. Better with the Book of Mormon. Better with the Book of Mormon.
Yeehaw!
Well, that was a great song, buddy.
Well, thank you very much.
That was... you don't exactly take a quiet dignity. I guess we don't really do that anymore.
No. That was only for 3 weeks in the MTC. That was the only time Quiet Dignity is played into the rule book.
Those were the days.
But anyway, yeah, let's get back to good stuff. But
okay, I appreciate good parody songs. In fact, I was tempted to see Weird Al at the Orange County Fair this year, but like every year when I'm tempted to see him, I decide I want to do other things.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, so everyone knows, if you want to listen to us, we are the Sarcastic Gamer Brown Show now. We've been promoted a few times, so now we have our own official podcast on sarcasticgamer.com. And you can follow me at DogsDie on Twitter. That's about it.
Cool. So everyone do that. Go see DogsDie, and you will get many, many, many tweets from Alan throughout your
life. I tweet a lot.
You constitute, like... 80% of my Twitter feed.
How many people do you follow?
I don't know, like 40 or something like that.
Mm.
Ish. I don't know. And that's my personal Twitter, by the way. I don't give that one out on the show. But of course there's the Twim Twitter, which we follow like 400 people and have like a couple hundred followers or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Nice.
That one's all more fun. So yeah, check out Dogs Die and love stuff like that.
Back to Mormons. This is too much exposure.
Hey, I love good game. You know, I love a good gaming chat. I can't.
Mm.
I can. I'm good at feigning interest in video games.
Oh, good.
Who am I to joke, though? I can't wait till Civ 5 comes out. So
that's the next game on my radar as well.
So when is that? Was that mid September?
Yeah, I think it's the 21st.
I don't play a lot of games, but Civilization 5 I will be purchasing pretty quickly upon its release, because I love building up a country and then destroying my neighbors, basically, is what appeals to me.
Yeah, I feel the spirit when I play Civilization. So
it's great megalomania. So moving right along, we do have kind of a theme running today because we talked about the Phoenix Temple and the opposition that it faces. Now, of course, in the news recently, especially it seems this past 10 days, it's been really heated. All about the proposed quote-unquote mosque in close to Ground Zero in New York City. And this has been very contentious. Many people, of course, don't want it to be built there, and there's been a big debate. They're trying to portray it as if it's totally illegal to build the thing, which it's not. You could argue that it's in poor taste to have something like that near Ground Zero. I get that. But as far as a constitutional right, a group of Muslims has every right to build something near Ground Zero. The point is, there's a couple articles here that we've dealt with, but I found one at Times and Seasons by Kent Larson. Pretty good article, by and large, with what he talks about. The struggles that we've had with zoning and things like that to build our meeting houses and especially our temples, and how that is analogous to the problems facing the mosque today. And then, of course, and after this, of course, you have a similar story that ties right into this that we'll get to, Alan. So, yeah. The mosque thing is very interesting to me because I feel like as members of the church, we need to go out of our way to have a little bit of sympathy towards the Muslims. And really, we have so much in common with Muslims that we don't realize, particularly as Latter-day Saints. And we take that for granted because we have both come from this line of faith that is questioned by people, that is somewhat in obscurity, and that is not necessarily appreciated by the masses. And of course, the sad thing with Muslims, in fact, this week's Time magazine, it just said, is America Islamophobic, is the lead article. And that is a question. Are we Islamophobic? And I would argue that we are. I think generally in this country, despite how much we purport to adhere to principles of, you know, freedom of thought and religion and all this and that, especially after 9/11, we take a lot of issue with the Islamic community, which is sad. And I think that is it's not a good thing. I don't know. Have you been following the mosque story much?
You know, I have a little, and I have a question that may make me seem Islamophobic.
Okay.
After an event like 9/11, is a nation or a group of people allowed a certain amount of time to rightly be or feel that way about a group of people that has, yes, a very extremist group of, you know, small portion of people from that group caused a lot of damage on us? But does a nation have a right to be cautious or feel uncomfortable with an entire group?
Well, I don't. It has a right to, of course. That's one of the tenets of being an American. You have a right to feel or act however you want, but
is that right? Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's hard to say. I think it's natural, and the sad thing is we give into these natural tendencies. But I think the hard thing is that most Americans do not separate terrorists and fundamentalist Muslims from mainstream Islam, and I think that's where we hit the big problem. We need to understand that the overwhelming majority of Muslims are everyday Muslims. Sure, they have a different faith that we don't necessarily understand or agree with every part of, but they are Americans, and they love this country, and they want to see it succeed, and they want to be here and make their lives better just as we do.
Yeah.
And being Mormons, we are no strangers to prejudice or to oppression. I mean, please, you know, we are the only religion that's had a constitution or an actual legal document calling for our extermination, which is pretty remarkable. If you could think about them doing that in this day and age, like try to get rid of all the Muslims or something like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ridiculous. And so the Ground Zero thing's funny because they talk a lot about, yeah, being insensitive and what is insensitive. Because I personally feel that tolerance is one of our most important things that we have in this country. That unlike a lot of the world, we embrace people from all walks of life and from all creeds. And of course, as a side note, the cultural center, which is not a mosque, is also not built on Ground Zero. Like they tell the story as if you think they're going to build it like right there on the side of stuff, like, hey, go to the Ground Zero Memorial,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Oh, and here, come to the Islamic Cultural Center to learn more about Islam. It's a couple of blocks away, and I think it could serve a good purpose because people have all these misconceptions and need to learn what Islam really is, not these radicals. Because if we get mad at radicals, there are radicals in Christianity just as much, and they might not fly planes into buildings, but they still do plenty of damage in other ways.
Yeah, you make a really good point. I think that being educated on any group of people is never a bad thing at all, you know. And if you think about,
except for the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, there's always an exception to every rule. But if you think about how great it would be if Mormons had something in a high-profile area like that, a visitor center right there next to Ground Zero. Now we're not tied to 9/11 like the Muslims are, but You know, the whole, when I heard about the whole mosque thing, I honestly don't have an opinion of it. I've tried to have an opinion of it, and it just makes me mad that it's an issue. And not in a way that it makes me mad. It's just so hard to explain. I don't know if I can make sense, but...
Sure.
It's just... it's frustrating because it's like, we really shouldn't be talking about this. It just, I mean, in every aspect, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal that the Muslims want to build a mosque there. 9/11 shouldn't have happened in the first place, so we shouldn't even be having this conversation. It is very frustrating. But one thing that's interesting is there's actually an article that I found that talks all about how the Mormons have had their own little 9/11 mosque moment back in 19...
Don't say that, are the Jews, because the Jews will come okay. after you.
Well,
or our own Holocaust.
Back in 1903, we had a little run-in with the government, much like they're encountering right now with trying to get things built with the mosque. Now, we've talked about zoning already this episode a little, but this is a little different spin. Back in 1903, there was an election, and Utah, the legislature, was electing a U.S. senator, and guess who they elected? Or maybe not the person is very important, but what position that person held. He was not a Relief Society president.
He was a fry cook.
Yes. He actually opened the first McDonald's.
He was the ward creepy greeter that they put in.
Very bald and smelled bad, but he...
Or was he an apostle?
He was an apostle. Very, very good. Hey. The vote was pretty lopsided. He got 46 Republican... he got 46 votes, and his rival got 16. So it's good to see that Utah really has actually gotten more Republican over time, because it was not even close like that anymore. But...
Is that good to see? Sorry. No, we don't need to get into that discussion.
Continue. I was being sarcastic.
Sorry. It's okay. Love your weird Republican world.
I know. It's very strange.
Continue.
Well, what happened was the U.S. Senate said, we're just going to go ahead and not let that man enter the Senate because he held such a high-ranking position in the Mormon Church.
Now, how do they just blocked it? I mean, because he's elected to be a senator. I mean, they just say no, you can't come in.
Yeah, they did. They alleged that he was a polygamist, and that a man that practiced polygamy could not hold that position. The U.S. government that those were proven to be false. He never did practice polygamy. By the way, his name is Reed Smoot. Was his name Reed Smoot?
Smoot.
I'll read a quick little spiddly bop with its long history of. I should have chosen the next sentence. This word's too big. Recalcitrance, obstruction, and outright disobedience to the United States government over polygamy. The LDS Church's loyalty was doubted by patriotic Americans. Over the years, public opinion had been formed by anti-Mormon exposés such as an exposition, the Doctrine, Rites, and Ceremonies of Latter-day Saints, and then they name a few other books. Allowing one of the leaders of that same sect into the Senate would be like inviting a viper into the very bosom of American democracy.
That does sound a lot like something that would be said today.
Kind of interesting. And then, I mean, how much of a factor do you feel that... Mitt Romney being Mormon played against him? Do you think it played against him at all or for him?
Do I think him being LDS was like detrimental to his campaign?
If you took the LDS out of Mitt Romney, would he have fared better?
That depends. I mean, if you were just some Protestant dude or whatever, maybe it depends on it, because I felt the Mormon thing is troubling, but I felt like Mitt Romney was also wishy-washy and kept changing his stance on stuff, kept saying whatever he needed to say to please people. And when you've got a guy who can talk like Huckabee, I mean, you can't compete with that.
Yeah, and so, Huckabee ended up third.
Sort of, yeah, but then again, you've got the Ron Paul revolution.
Oh my gosh.
Ron Paul, the revolution.
The guy looks like a rat.
With the Evol part of revolution spelled backwards so it says love.
And that's what got him votes. which those is signs sad.
Awesome. Do you know how happy I was when I was in Provo and all that stuff was going on? I saw Ron Paul signs with Revolution. I was like, this man. I fell for Ron Paul very early back in the day.
That's cute.
Basically because he was against the Iraq War and had no problem saying that he was. But I, there's a liability, and I think it's just terrible. Like how, you know, it makes you wonder how much of that was just straight out prejudice, how much of that was actually ignorance on the part of the Senate, mm-hmm. actually believing that he was a polygamist and supported it. Because we've known time and time again, the public is not educated very well about who we are as Latter-day Saints and what we actually stand for. So it could go both ways.
Yeah.
It's sad to see. The Smoot case, that's a really good find you found that you got there, though. I think that really illustrates the point and the same things that we see today with members of the church today and going back to the cultural center. Same stuff, same principles. You know, it's a lot of misunderstanding. I think that's sad.
It is sad.
Well, folks, first off, actually, here I got one little random story. I just feel like talking about this because, I'm sorry, LDS Church Newsroom, I love you. You give me wonderful things like pictures of the inside of the Kiev Ukraine temple, which I love. However, you also give me the article Finding Your Roots at the Alex Haley Museum opening. For those of you who remember Alex Haley, he wrote the book Roots, which subsequently became a very popular TV miniseries starring Geordi LaForge from Star Trek fame and the host of Reading Rainbow. He's also known as LeVar Burton. And
I met him.
I'm sad. So we talked about this before. You've never seen Roots. It's sad, Alan. You've got to see Roots.
Well, I've seen Roots. When did we talk about this?
Before we started, you said you had no idea what it was.
I was probably playing video games. I wasn't listening.
You are mean.
I saw it in high school. O.J. Simpson runs him down.
Oh, O.J. Simpson's in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
My name is Toby. Your heart breaks when he's getting whipped and he finally calls himself Toby. That's harsh. So anyway, the point is Alex Haley was from Tennessee in Henning, Tennessee. Don't have any idea where that is, but in Tennessee anyways. So great. You see this and you're like, well, that's great. Alex Haley has a museum or a memorial or something.
Wow.
To celebrate that. But the church has somehow managed to have a family search center inside of this museum exhibit old house thing, which I think is pretty remarkable. How did the church get its foot in on that?
Who's the genius that pitched that idea too?
Yeah, so I mean, it makes sense because it's all about your roots and being in touch with your roots and finding this and that. I do feel it's like a little bit weird. Like this is the roots was an important thing dealing with slavery and all of that sadness and understanding your culture from that point of view. And so here we are, you know, like the whitest church alive coming into Alex Haley's museum opening. And I guess it's a good thing, but part of me, when I first saw the article, I was like, really? I'm glad we're doing genealogy, but for goodness
let's
sakes.
Think of,
but it makes
let's
sense.
Think of other literary museums that would see less visitors than the Roots Museum. Ready? You go first.
Go. I don't even know. I can't think.
The Moby Dick Museum, which would be held in the middle of the Atlantic. That would have many few viewers, much much fewer viewers.
I
visitors
sure about that,
that meaning visitor, yes, visitor.
Yeah. Well, good for them. I mean, they make a good point. I understand the Haley family actually really supports this because they feel like the genealogical resources of the church are great because it helps to search African American ancestry. So, you know,
little they know we're taking their name and we're dunking them in the temple. Hmm.
That's right. That's what we're going to do. We see
you are saved, suckers. I just went there. Deal with it.
I don't even know how to respond to that now. And so building on this, to finish off our show, folks, we just want to wish President Monson a happy birthday because it is our dear prophet's, I believe his 83rd birthday was on Saturday. So
happy birthday. 83, is that it?
Yeah, I thought it was like maybe it would say 88. I don't know.
No, he's got to be older than 83.
I had it up somewhere. Let's find that. I put it on the thing.
My money's more on like 88.
Let's look it. Nope, 83rd birthday. Wow. I thought he was like 88. Yeah, I really thought he
good
was
good for
late
him,
80s at this point.
Man. I think we got a keeper for a number of years, man.
Number of years. So let's look on the bright side. That means Packer won't get there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I. It's funny because I taught a lesson today about you know, when new prophets come in assuming the mantle and honoring new prophets and listening to them and believing in them as prophets. And I believe in that. But at the same time, I see someone like President Packer, who's great, but I can't envision him as the president of the
Who's
church.
After Packer?
Actual seniority would be the L train. That's all time.
I like that guy.
By the way. He's next after that, and I think after that is Nelson now?
Nelson, then Ballard?
Nelson's like 88 now, so he's getting up there. No, it'd be Nelson, then I think Elder Oaks, and then I start to get lost.
I used to know it really well.
Well, yeah, they keep tacking new ones on. The one thing I do know is obviously we can't predict what the Lord has in store, but Elder Bednar being like a generation younger than most of them, there's a pretty strong chance he could outlive everybody and wind up being president of the church someday. It's because... It's just funny to think about that now when he's been there for 5 years as an apostle to realize that we could be knowing an apostle that we might, you know, that our own children might revere someday as the leader of the church.
That's awesome.
Who knows what the Lord has in store? Folks, I think that's going to wind up Twim for the week.
Twim.
You say this like it means something to you. When you told me this week was the first time you actually bothered to listen to an episode.
Hey, dude. I try.
You at least listen to a pretty decent one. Sometimes the episodes suck.
But
by and large, no, they're usually pretty okay. I mean, some we walk away from more like, this wasn't really the best one. And some we walk away from and we are extent, you know,
well,
how it is. And some,
it's fair
some
to say that you peaked this week.
Sure. When we've got Dogs Die at Twitter on here with us showing his business going on. So, anyways, so we're going to call it up. We're going to call it a wrap. Or that's a wrap. I don't know how to say anything anymore. It's 12:40 in the morning right now, and it's almost 2 a.m. where you are. So I my mind is shot at this point.
We're stopping. I'm good to go until like 2 more hours.
Yeah, you don't have a job.
Oh, yeah. Either, so. Thanks for bringing that up.
I have to. You're more than welcome. You're
unemployed. I sell my bishop
stuff
on eBay, and he gives me half.
How does it make you feel having your wife be the one providing for your family? Right
well,
now?
In the last few months, I've taught my two sons how to swim. I've also written a will because we're convinced that I'm going to die because I'm spending too much time with my kids. And I've also potty trained them. I didn't do a very good job because my son woke up tonight and he was lying down on my wife and he peed on her lap.
Oh,
it was awesome.
I have to say, though, I'm very impressed that you've taught them to bathe themselves completely.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by that when I was visiting you. These are like 3-year-old and how old are they?
We have a 4 and a 2-year-old.
4 and a 2-year-old, and they actually go upstairs and draw their own bath and just do it on their own.
Yeah. I send them to Walmart to pick up prescription meds and milk for me.
And let them abuse them vigorously.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
The milk. They abuse the milk.
Oh, yeah. Well... Anyway, we could ramble on here forever. But anyway, so Alan, thank you very much for jumping in with us this week. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
My pleasure. So remember to find him on the Brown Sarcastic Gamer podcast, if I get that correct.
Sure.
SarcasticGamer.com
Brown Show.
The Sarcastic Gamer Brown Show.
Yeah.
You really got the worst color. And also, of course...
Well, we picked the worst color on purpose.
Oh, because you're filthy. All right, anyway, and of course, find Alan at Dogs Die on Twitter. And anywhere else. Please, of course, support his lovely podcast endeavor because he doesn't need, you know, more thousands of people listening to it.
And we will, I'm excited to pimp out Twim.
Well, please do.
Are you allowed to pimp out?
You can pimp us to your
Mormon stuff.
Can pimp us to your heart's content. Knock yourself out.
You will be pimped, Jeff.
Thank you.
And you'll feel great
pimp
about it.
My podcast.
Awesome.
I hope it'll have a PlayStation in the trunk by the time we're done.
Hey.
That'll be good. Anyway, thanks, buddy, and everybody. Once again, always find us at, of course, thisweekinmormons.com, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, and the Twitter, which is the real Twim on Twitter. The real Twim, not the fake one, the real one.
Not all those imitators.
Nope.
You got to get verified, my friend.
That's right. All right, Alan. Thanks, you, buddy.
Bona nit, adieu.
Oh, the Catalan. This could spark a whole other discussion, but we don't dare go there. Anyway, yes. Bona nit. Thanks a lot, pal. And this has been another edition, of course, of This Week in Mormons. We will see all of you later. Make our escape.